for purposes of comprehensiveness, I think going ready. I think we'll talk a little bit about the concept of Mahadran, which is a concept we've touched upon in the past. There's always more to say about it, so we'll try to maybe look at some issues relating to that, and possibly leading into a complementary topic next week, depending on what we decide to do. I know that there are some people who need to catch the 11 o'clock wire, so we'll try to keep it probably within that framework. The concept of the menorah is one of the most well-known mitzvos. I think it's actually one of the most observed mitzvos that we have. And if you'd ask anybody on the street, Jewish, non-Jewish, certainly in New York City, ask them what a menorah is, they all know menorah is what Jews need to light on Hanukkah. They need to keep track of how many nights. And on the fifth night of Hanukkah, light five candles, sixth night, six, etc., etc. So everyone knows that, except for the Talmud. According to the Gemara, that's not true. We don't actually have to do that. The Gemara tells us in mitzvah Chanukah, ner ishu beiso, that the only obligation of Chanukah is one candle per person, or per household, rather, per night. So every night, the household lights one candle, whether it's the first night, the seventh night, the third night, the eighth night, whatever it is, one candle. Then, if you're really very, very religious, if you're from the Mahadran, if you're extremely pious, so then you want to go one better, you still don't need a menorah. Then, ner l'kol echad ve'echad. Every person in the household gets to light their own one candle. And again, one candle per night, none of this menorah stuff, no keeping track of the nights. If you're really super-duper ultra-religious, if you're from the Mahadran, min ha-Mahadran, if you're from the best of the best, so then, okay, then you take out the menorah. And it's a machlokas, of course, between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai as to what direction we take. Beis Shammai was of the opinion that we go 8-7-6, go down, either to parallel the Korbanos of Sukkot, Parei HaChag, or to count the days that we have left. And we assume, like Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel maintains you should count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, because of, once again, two reasons. Either we want to count the days that have passed, that mark the process of the miracle, or because Malin Bekodesh V'ein Moridin, that we always want to go up in matters of Kedusha. We don't like the imagery of going down. We want to go up. Okay, so that's our practice, that if we want to be from the best of the best, we want to be from the Mahadran and the Mahadran, so then we use a menorah when we count up. But even within that view of Beis Hillel, so there's still room for machlokas. You could always find more machlokas. And there's still room to argue. The Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos quotes from the Ri, that the Ri maintains that if you're going to do this best of the best limit, if you're going to do the Mahadran, Mina Mahadran, so then you should skip the second level. They are not cumulative. You don't build on each other, according to the Ri. So either you're going to light Mahadran, meaning you'll do per person, or you'll do Mahadran, Mina Mahadran, and you'll do per night. But you won't do both. Why won't you do both? Because, says Tosfos, if you're going to combine the two, so then you have a problem that there will not be heker. It will not be recognizable as to what exactly you're trying to accomplish. Because let's say, for example, it's the fourth night of Hanukkah, and there are three people in the house, so you're going to light 12 candles. So what does 12 candles mean? So nobody walking past is going to see 12 candles in the window is going to know what that means. It could mean 6 times 2, 3 times 4, 4 times 3, 2 times 6, 1 times 12. It could mean anything. So it's not going to have any meaning to the onlooker. So that's why it says Tosfos, if you're going to do it this way, so you only do per night. You don't do per person. And the Rambam disagrees. He has a whole history lesson there. If you look in Mishnah Torah, he goes into a little bit of back and forth about it. But essentially, the Rambam believes, yeah, it's all one big party. Combine everything together. And you do, you multiply. So in the previous example, apparently, you would have 12 candles. And it seems like he's not worried about Tosfos' concern of Hecker. Yes?
Could it just be that they understand per assuming Nisa differently, that according to the Rambam, meaning it just to show that we have, I mean, we're not trying to show how many nights there are.
Right, that seems to be underlying their issue. Yeah, we'll get to that in a little more detail, but it definitely seems to be a part of the story. So, for whatever reason, and we'll talk about it, the Rambam seems to be less worried about this hecker issue. So how do we paskin? So here there's an unusual quirk, right? That normally you'd expect that the Tosfos' Ashkenazi Rishonim would be adopted by the Ramah, the Rambam would be the path for the Shulchan Aruch, and in this case there was a crisscross, that the Shulchan Aruch follows the view of Tosfos, and the Ramah apparently follows the Rambam. So a key difference, which maybe we'll get a chance to talk about, but the Ramah seems to follow the Rambam, and the Taz writes on the side of the page over there, this is something that you don't find anywhere else, that there should be such a crisscross. This is completely unusual. The Rabbi Shmuel Shulman in one of his svarim, so he points out that he knows a couple of other places where it happened too, but it's pretty unusual. That there should be such a crisscross is not the way things normally go. It is debatable, and maybe we'll talk about this more if we have time. Maybe we'll talk about it next week, come up then as well. It's a little bit questionable whether it's really true that the Ramah is actually adopting the Rambam's position, because there is a key difference. The Rambam says, the Baal HaBayis lights all these candles, lights the 12 candles in the example that we gave before. And the Ramah says differently. The Ramah says that everyone in the household lights his own set. So that's not what the Rambam said. The Rambam didn't say everyone gets to light his own set of candles. So the Baal HaBayis lights all the candles to correspond to how many people are in the house. So there's a big brisker rub about this, which we won't talk about now, but we'll talk about later if we have time. But just to mention a simpler perspective, the opinion Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna and his Shuvah, so he explains that really the Ramah is not straight following the Rambam. But it's essentially, he's merging the Rambam and Tosfos. He's trying to make them both happy. That he's following the Rambam in the sense that you combine both Hidurim, that you do both per night and per person. But he's also worried about, Tosfos is concerned about Heker. So if you do like the Rambam describes, like 12 candles, so then yeah, it's a big hodgepodge. Nobody knows what that means. But if you have everyone in the household, like we have today, everyone in the household lighting his own menorah, so then, okay, in the winter you'll have one menorah for, another menorah for, another menorah for, so people will understand what's going on. That will be a clearer message. So maybe that's what the Rambam is getting at. Not really that he took the sides of the Rambam, that maybe he's compromising, he's doing both the Rambam and Tosfos. Not even better than compromising, maybe he's fulfilling both the goals of Rambam and Tosfos. That's how the Vinyan Shlomo understands, and that could be. Again, there are other interpretations, maybe we'll come back to it. So what is underlying this issue, this debate between the Rambam and Tosfos? Here primarily that Tosfos is concerned about Heker, about recognition, and the Rambam seems to not be so concerned about it. So what's that about? So many of the Acharonim assume, many of the contemporary Acharonim assume, that a major issue in general in this whole sugya is what is the relationship between Mahadrin, and the concept of Hiddur Mitzvah. Now we know there is a notion, B'chol HaTorah Kula, of beautifying mitzvos. This is a pasuk in Parshas Bishalach, that the Torah says, Zeh Keli V'Anvehu, this is my God and I will glorify you, and we say it every morning. So, well, it's a debate in the Gemara what that word means, V'Anvehu. So according to one opinion in the Gemara, V'Anvehu means like Nava, beautiful, I will beautify him. So says the Gemara, how do you beautify God? Hisnoi lefanav b'mitzvos, you should do mitzvos in a beautiful way. So Sefer Torah na, lulav na, tzitzis na, all the nice cheftzes, nice objects of mitzvos that we have. You have a beautiful lulav, you have a beautiful Sefer Torah, you have a beautiful tzitzis, all of that. That's a fulfillment of this idea of Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. So it seems reasonable to ask the question, so what are we talking about here? Are we talking about another example of Hiddur Mitzvah? This is Hiddur Mitzvah in the context of Chanukah, just like we have it by other mitzvahs? Or should we say that no, this is not about Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. This is a special Chanukah concept. This is not the same kind of concept as you find in other areas of the Torah. The word Mahadran and Hiddur, they're not the same idea here. Same root, same word, but they're not the same concept. And this is a whole different idea. This is not about Zeh Keli V'Anvehu. So that discussion you find in many Sfarim. that there should be such a chakira about what Mahadran is that you find in many places. Rav Yaakov Betzalel Zsolti, the Rav of Yerushalayim, who wrote the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz, so he had the following approach. He wanted to say that this is the question. Are we talking about standard hiddur mitzvah or not? And the way it breaks down is that Tosfos is talking about a standard Zekei Levi and Vehu. And the Rambam is talking about a fancy schmancy deal. It's not about the normal hiddur mitzvah. How does he know that? Because Tosfos, their concern about Heker, says Rav Zsolti, that is an issue in hiddur mitzvah in general. But when it comes to hiddur mitzvah in general, so we have a concern that the hiddur should be visible. For example, when you have write a sefer Torah, so there's a halacha of sirtut, there's a halacha that there has to be underlines on the sefer Torah, because you have to make sure that the writing is very nice and attractive. So that's a din in hiddur mitzvah. So there is a whole discussion in the Rishonim, does the same din apply to the writing in tefillin? Do we say that tefillin also have to look as beautiful as sefer Torah? So many of the Rishonim thought no, because you don't see the writing inside of the tefillin. So maybe there's only a concept of hiddur in something that's visible. So therefore, Tosfos, who's so concerned about Heker, it's because he's following the rules of standard hiddur mitzvah in general. While Rambam, who's not so worried about that, that's because he understands this is a unique concept, this is special to Chanukah, it's tied into the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah, and doesn't have to follow the rules of hiddur mitzvah in general. And he brings up proof. He says, how do you know that the Rambam feels this way? Because there's another halacha that we mentioned last week, actually, I give something else, that there is a notion the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both say, that one is obligated to go to great lengths to fulfill the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah. If you can't afford it, then you have to be shol ala psachim, you have to knock on the doors and beg, you have to sell your clothes, you have to do whatever it takes to fulfill this mitzvah. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both have that din, but the Shulchan Aruch, the way he's understood by later sources, by the Chemed Moshe, who the Bir Halacha quotes, they assume that what the Shulchan Aruch means is that you only have to go begging for one candle, because that's the real mitzvah. Ikar mitzvah is one candle a night. So more than that, to go begging doesn't make sense. You only have to go begging for one candle. And the Rambam, according to the understanding of the Or Sameach, he notes that the Rambam says, lokeach neros, plural. So he understands the Rambam says you have to go begging even for the hiddur mitzvah. So it's kind of a machlokus by proxy. It can be a machlokus, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, by the proxy of the Or Sameach understanding the Rambam and the Chemed Moshe understanding the Shulchan Aruch. So says Rav Zsolti, so doesn't the Shulchan Aruch's Chemed Moshe perspective, doesn't that make sense? Why should you go begging for a hiddur? So you see from the Rambam telling you to go begging for a hiddur, that it's because he understands the hiddur to be plugged into the mitzvah itself. That's the way Rav Zsolti understood it. So b'mechilas kavod Torah, so I thought maybe we could say differently. Maybe we could say actually the inverse of this, and say that really it plays out in the opposite direction. That essentially, it's hard to say that this is a standard hiddur mitzvah. Already the whole format of mahadrin and mahadrin min mahadrin is already unusual. But there's a pretty conclusive proof that it's not a standard hiddur mitzvah. There is a din, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma on Daf Tes, that the rule when it comes to hiddur mitzvah is hiddur mitzvah ad shlish. That you want to know how much money to spend on beautifying a mitzvah, so you spend a third of what you would otherwise spend. So let's say you want to buy an esrog. So a kosher esrog costs, let's say, $30. And the hiddur esrog costs $100. That's more than three times as much as the mitzvah costs, so you're not obligated to do that. That's out of proportion. You're only obligated, or you're only encouraged to spend an extra third. Now, a third could be 50%, because it could be a third from the outside, that you add on a percentage, And then that's a third of the new total. So it could be as much as 50%, but still that's the most of what we're talking about. So if you apply that rule to Hanukkah, you get blown out of the water right away. Because even the slightest amount of hiddur in Hanukkah is going to cost way more than a third. It's going to cost you at least double. Right? Let's say you are just doing the second level, mahadrin, you just want to do per person, and there's only one other person in the house, otherwise it's not relevant, so as soon as there's one other person, so you already doubled your costs. You already need twice as many candles as you did before. And for sure, if you're doing mahadrin mina mahadrin, then you go from 8 candles to 44 candles over the course of the yantif, and maybe times as many people in the house, that's a very significant increase. It's a multiple by many, many times. So this is way beyond shlish. So you have to say on some level that this is not a standard hiddur mitzvah. This is clearly something strange here. So maybe we could say that the question is between Tosfos and the Rambam that they both agree that this is a special kind of hiddur mitzvah. But the question is, once we acknowledge that it's a special hiddur, in terms of its significance at least, is it just especially important? Or does it have a completely different format to it? And from that perspective, it's really the Rambam, I think, who's saying something more standard, and Tosfos who's saying something more unique. Because the Rambam's not so worried about Hecker. What is the Rambam's position, essentially? Since what the Rambam is basically saying is that we want a bigger flame. That Mahadrin is to have a bigger flame than the one candle, and Mahadrin is to have a significantly bigger flame. So there's a cheshbon how you do it, but it's basically more candles. So that is not so different from your standard hiddur mitzvah. So when it comes to an esrog, so a hiddur might be to have a bigger esrog. And when it comes to Neres Chanukah, so the hiddur is to have a bigger flame. It's not really radically different than the hiddur you find elsewhere. It's just that it requires more commitment, that you have to spend a lot more instead of a third, but it's not so radically different. While Tosfos is saying not just that you should have a bigger flame, but that you should be able to read a message within the candles. That's a completely unique idea. That's not something that you find anywhere else. Right? That's like saying, oh, a hiddur mitzvah by esrog would mean that kosher esrog is a basic obligation. A hiddur by esrog means to take an esrog with green stripes and a flag on the side and a neon sign that says Happy Sukkot when you should be. Right? So it's a whole different kind of mitzvah. So that's not that's totally unprecedented. So Tosfos, by insisting on the hacker, Tosfos is the one that's saying this is really a whole different kind of concept. And maybe the Rambam would say this is essentially your standard hiddur with a higher degree of commitment. And that could also explain, we said before, Rav Zhulti's raya, oh, you see the Ram tells you to go begging for a hiddur, shows you he thinks it's more than your standard hiddur. So according to what we're saying, yeah, it's more obligatory, it's more of a commitment. So you have to spend more and you have to go to greater lengths to do it. But once you're doing that, it's essentially the same kind of hiddur. The hiddur is still about bigger and better, but just you're more committed to it in terms of effort and in terms of expense than other hiddurim in the Torah. So it's worth thinking for a second. So then if they both agree to that, so why should that be? Why should it be that there's such a special hiddur? So first of all, just in terms of what are they arguing within that, so it could be that you're right, that there are some who suggest that maybe the machlokus between the Rambam and Tosfos is about what is the important miracle. What exactly are we focused on? That on the one hand there is a miracle of the oil, we want to commemorate that. On the other hand, there is the perhaps more important miracle of the war. And in fact, if we read Al HaNisim, so you see Al HaNisim, which is our key expression of what we're commemorating, doesn't say a word about the oil. It says Masar Tegibarim Biad Chalash and Rab Biad Ma'at and Tamei Biad. It's all about the war. So maybe the Rambam is focused on that. Well, Tosfos is focused on the miracle of the oil. So for Tosfos, counting nights is a big deal. For the Rambam, it's not so much about that. It's about this big military victory. So therefore, a big flame commemorates that. Now, the Maharal of Prague was of the opinion that really this combines, that really the whole issue is the war. That's the big important miracle. But it's possible for one to say, you know, Kochi v'otzim yadi, that it was my effort, that it was our ingenuity, our political strategy that allowed us to win the war, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't really involved. So therefore he does, so to speak, a magic show at the end. He shows he's obviously involved with the whole fancy smoke and mirrors of the oil lasting. And that's his way of saying, that's obviously miraculous. That's showing that clearly that's God's work. So too the war was also God's work. So this focus on Hiddur towards this message could also reflect something else. You know, a lot of Achronim raised the question, which may or may not be a good question, depending on your perspective, but a lot of Achronim ask that the whole miracle seemed to be unnecessary. Why do we need the miracle of finding the pure oil, that specific miracle? There is a rule, Tuma Hutra Bitzibur, that when you're dealing with the needs of the whole congregation, the whole Klal Yisrael, so if all you have is Tamei stuff, you can use Tamei stuff. So then what do they need the pure oil for? Why did they have to go so crazy to get that? They could have just used the impure oil. So there are a lot of answers to this question, some very razzle-dazzle answers. And there's one answer that's given that's not razzle-dazzle at all. It says that why do we need this whole miracle? You could have gotten away with impure oil. Yeah, but it's nicer to use pure oil. Nicer. So that means the whole miracle, so to speak, is because of Hiddur. So maybe we're essentially commemorating the concept of Hiddur on Hanukkah. So it makes sense that we specifically have such an emphasis on Hiddur in how we do things. There are other vorts that make that same point. For example, some note that they could have just, if they wanted to get through these 8 days, they could have just made very thin wicks. There's no shear to how thick a wick has to be. So they could have made very thin wicks that would have lasted, would have used up less oil, and that would have lasted longer. So why didn't they do that? So some say, oh, because very thin wicks would have had a very shvach flame. It wouldn't have been so behidr. So once again, the whole point of the miracle is for the purposes of hidr. Okay. So just to add a few points, so how do you see this playing out, this difference between Tosfos and the Rambam in terms of the concern that it should be visible? So, for example, Rav Shlomo Kluger had a position which generally wasn't accepted. He said that Mahadrim and Mahadrim, so that means you should light 3 candles on the 3rd night, 4 candles on the 4th night, etc. But you could also do more than that. If you want to light 15 candles on the 4th night, you could do that as well. And he brings a raya from Zohar and Shomer that we know that Friday night we light 2 candles. But many have a practice to light more than 2 candles. So even though when it comes to Friday night, so the 2 has a meaning, it means Zohar and Shomer, and yet we're not afraid to add on to the 2. So too, Hanukkah also, the number has a svara, but still we're not afraid to add on to it. So we don't generally assume like that. The Tshuvas Mishnah Zohar was written by the Eim HaBonim Smecha of Teichthal. So he has a discussion about this. This is not generally how we assume. And it seems to be because we assume that we're trying to actually count the specific message. So it's not just you can overshoot. You want to try to get the specific point of the ascension. Based on that, there were some other suggestions as well. Rav Nassim Gestetner, we have quoted so many times in this Chabura, if you were aware, he passed away last week. Especially in his memory, should mention a word from him. So he has a tshuva in which he discusses that some raise the question, why don't we have a concept of Sveika Diyoma when it comes to Hanukkah? Why don't we say that just like by all the other Yom Tovim, we add on a day, so maybe we should add on a day to Hanukkah also. So the simple answer is probably because it's Rabbanan, and we probably don't have a concept of Sveika Diyoma in general. But if you think that's not enough, so then you could still ask the question, so why don't we add on a day? So he thought that maybe you could draw from what the Dvar Avram had suggested, the question of when it comes to Sfirat Ha'Omer, why don't we have Sfeika D'Yoma? Why don't we count every day of Sfira and say, oh, today is 5, maybe 6, today is 6, maybe 7, etc., etc. So Dvar Avraham, at least in his initial suggestion, he says that you can't count Misafek. Counting means you know what you're doing. You can't count and say, well, that's 5, maybe 6, that's 7 or 8. Counting means this is 5, this is 6, this is 7. So too, says the Rav Gestetner, you could say that maybe also when it comes to Hanukkah candles, if the purpose of this ascension is to keep track of the days, so then you can't keep track of days misafik. You have to actually count them. Which, if you want to take that comparison to Sfiras HaOmer further, there are some who say, like the Rav Ephraim, who consider that maybe we should also then say, if you miss a day, you're out of the game. With the Shulta Giborim, it sounds like that. Maybe we should say that a cut in Shehigdil, if a child becomes an adult in the middle, the same way it's a Shiloh, whether you can join Sfiras HaOmer in the middle, maybe you should have the same question if you could join the Mahajrim and the Mahajrim in the middle. That's a cute kind of lumdis. That's an issue that's raised in that context as well. I'll just mention maybe a few more thoughts along these lines. There's also a question, what should somebody do in the other direction? There's a Mishnah Berurah, and Rav Shach has about this in a Sefer Avi Ezri. What if you have, let's say it's the fourth night of Hanukkah, and you only have 3 candles? So what should you do? So should you light whatever you have, so light 3 candles? Or should you, no, you should light 1 candle, because 3 candles doesn't mean anything. 1 candle is at least the Mahadrim, or at least the Ikar Mitzvah. Yeah, Mahadrim is the Ikar Mitzvah. But 3 candles is nothing. So do you say it's about just lighting more? So you do as many as you can? Or do we say, no, it's about the very specific message, and if you're missing that message, so then there's no point. So in terms of, to go back for a second to the whole question of whether the hiddur is really a part of the mitzvah or not, so you find some other issues that are related to this. For example, Rabbi Kiv Eger in his Chuvas and Siman Yud Gimel has a whole discussion if one can make a bracha on the additional candles. Let's say one forgets to make a bracha beforehand, or he realizes later he has to add on a candle. So can you make the bracha after you've lit the first candle? So do you say, no, it's a bracha on the hiddur, it doesn't make sense? Or do you say, no, these candles are graft, which he has a whole machlokas there between the Pri Chadash and the Eliyahu Rabbah about whether you ever make a bracha on a hiddur. Or do you say, no, this is different than that whole story. This is not stam a hiddur. This is connected to the mitzvah itself, has its own rules. So for example, also, so there was a machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Vilna Gaon. The way we do, say if I'm facing my menorah here, so here's the first night, second night, third night, fourth night, you go like that in that direction. And when you actually, let's say you put the candles in, and then when it comes to lighting, so you light from the newest candle, says the Shulchan Aruch, because that shows the increase in the miracle. Last night there was one fewer, now this extra candle, this shows how we've gone further in the miracle. And the Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, he says that doesn't make any sense, because the extra candles are a hiddur mitzvah. So why should I skip over the main candle, the main mitzvah, and make a bracha on the hiddur? That doesn't seem to make any sense. That doesn't seem to be the way to go. So Rav Zalti writes that this Shulchan Aruch's position, that's a raya to what he was saying, that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah is a part of the extra candles are a part of the mitzvah itself. But according to the way he was saying, it's a little difficult because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like the Rambam. But according to what we're saying, maybe it works a little better, that we all agree that there is something special to this hiddur. So therefore, even to make a bracha specifically on these extra candles, maybe that that makes sense. Maybe we'll just quickly mention, we alluded to before, so the Ramah had been thrown in the camp with the Rambam, but there is this key difference that the Ramah says everyone lights their own menorah, and the Rambam says the Balabas lights candles per person. So there is a whole story in the Briska Rav. The Briska Rav thought that really you could suggest that the Rambam and the Ramah are l'shitasam, a very fancy word, says that when it comes to Bris Milah, So there is a idea that the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos that Prismila is also a concept of Hiddur. We call the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin and Tzitzin She'ena Ma'akvin. There's the parts of the cut that are Ma'akev, that are part of the mitzvah itself, and then there's the parts that's not Ma'akev, it's a Hiddur mitzvah. So the Gemara says somebody's in the middle of a Prismila, so if he's cutting, so he should try to do the Hiddur. But once he's removed his hand, he's already stopped, then he doesn't go back for the Hiddur. So why should you not go back for the Hiddur? Why is it not worth cutting more? So most of the Rishonim say, like Rashi and Tosfos, the Ramban, the Tur, and the Rama, they'll say you don't go back because it's Shabbos. The Gemara happens to be in Masech Shabbos, and that's what the context is. The bris is taking place on Shabbos, so normally you wouldn't do elective surgery on Shabbos. So the mitzvah you have to do, bris milah, it takes place even on Shabbos. But the hiddur you only do if you're still not processed. But if you have to go back again later, then you don't do that on Shabbos. And the Rambam understands this as being a reference not to Shabbos, but to anything. He brings this in Hilchos Milah and Perek Beis Al-Chadalit, that to any milah you don't go back for the extra hiddur. So why shouldn't you go back if it's not Shabbos? What's the issue? Why shouldn't you do it? So the way the Brisker Rav has it is he says that there is a machlokas here in general as to do you do a hiddur separate from the mitzvah? Do you assume that a hiddur can only be done together with a mitzvah, or can you do it separately? So can you say that the Rambam holds in general that when it comes to the hiddur has to be done with the mitzvah? So therefore, even during the week, you can't go back and do the hiddur separately. Either you did it with the mitzvah or you didn't, but you can't go back and do it without the mitzvah. Well, then, according to this, the other Rishonim would say you could, and it's only on Shabbos it's an issue. So, the Brisker Rav wanted to say, it's L'shitaso, that the same issue you have in Chanukah, that the Rambam says the mitzvah, the hiddur has to be with the mitzvah, so the Balabas is doing the main mitzvah, he does all the extra hiddurim also. And the Ramah will allow the other members of the household to light their own hiddur menorahs because the hiddur could be separate from the ma'isa. Rav Sternbach in the Moed Muzmanim, he pointed out that really you could question this because when it comes to Chanukah, so the mitzvah is really still going on. It's not that the mitzvah is over, it's that the candles are still lit, so you're adding on to the fulfillment of the mitzvah, it's just the initial lighting is over. But he points out that's true by Bris Milah also. When it comes to a Bris Milah, so the initial Maisa HaMitzvah takes place on the eighth day, but there's still a fulfillment of the mitzvah as long as the person is circumcised. The Raya from that is the Gemara about David HaMelech, which we won't go into right now. So it says really in both cases, you could say the question is, everyone agrees that you can't do a hiddur completely separate from the mitzvah. The mitzvah has to at least be in some type of passive fulfillment. But the question is it enough that there's a fulfillment of the mitzvah? Or does it have to be the action of the mitzvah is actually going on at that time? But in any event, the Brisker Rav, his whole approach, so Rav Sternbach, who was a Talmud of his, had this modification. And Rav Shach, who I believe was also a Talmud of his, so Rav Shach thought the whole thing doesn't work because he says the whole issue, this comparison of the Hiddur to Bris Milah, to the Hiddur of Chanukah, that's assuming that they're comparable Hidurim, that they're the same type of approach. But it's very likely that Chanukah is a special type of Hiddur. It doesn't follow the rules of anything else. And therefore, that whole lumdus you could question. And maybe go back to the Binyan Shlomo, that really the Ramah's approach is to kind of bring together the Tosfos and the Ramah, Tosfos and the Rambam, rather, to combine all the Hidurim, but also to have some ability to recognize what's going on. Okay, so there's a lot more to say about this. Maybe we'll call it from here to allow for other things. And God willing, next week, we'll see what we do. Maybe we'll talk about a Hanukkah topic tonight. If we do, maybe we'll connect also to some of the things that we spoke about tonight. All right.